You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi with me, Dr. Helena Lim and Dr. Natasha Ayn Mohammad Noor, both consultant, obstetrician and gynecologist. And we are going to discuss having twins. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you very much, Meera.
I've been waiting for both of you to come.
Oh, dear.
You know, I was rather amazed that, you know, both of you are OBGYNs. You are very much involved in fertility treatment and work area of interest.
That's right, yep.
And the both of you have twins.
Yeah.
Dr. Helena, how old are your twins?
My twins are 3 years plus now.
Okay, mm-hmm. And yours, Dr. Natasha?
Coming up to 1 year old.
Coming up to one, okay. Good luck. No, I'm just being very, very mean here. Let's start with Dr. Natasha, since you know your kids are barely one. I mean, how did you, you know, when you found out about the twins, I mean, do you have twins in the family? You know, how did this happen?
Okay, I actually have problems conceiving, so I actually had a little help. So after getting know that I'm having twins, obviously me and my husband are very, very excited. Mm-hmm. Being an obstetrician, actually, you know, what are the possible complications
Exactly. Associated.
Yeah. And being an obstetrician obviously also means you're at high risk having all these complications as well.
Precisely.
So I had a premature delivery,
okay.
And I think I am very lucky. So both of my twins are very healthy at the moment.
Fantastic.
Comparatively, they were born like very premature.
Right. Yeah. Are they identical?
No, they're not identical. Okay. I have a pair of twins, a boy and a girl.
All right. And yourself, Dr. Helena?
Yes, I have a boy and a girl as well.
So both don't have identical twins. You know, what were your concerns, Dr. Helena, when you were told that you were having twins?
In fact, twins runs in my family. I have I came from a family where twins and triplets are the norm. Okay. Because my grandfather actually have a pair of twins, and my twin uncles actually went on having twins as well.
Right.
In fact, my first uncle have a triplet at home, so we sort of knew the challenges of having twins, mm-hmm. Raising up twins. But yet, as an obstetrician, I know that there are challenges in terms of my health and the baby's health. Mm-hmm. So in fact, I was actually a bit worried.
Right. Yeah. But what were you concerned about?
Yeah, actually, we know that having twins are actually at high risk of in terms of premature delivery, which happened to me as well. I have no choice but to deliver my twins at 33 weeks because of very high blood pressure.
Right.
So we know that twins are higher risk of miscarrying, having complications such as growth restriction.
Mm-hmm.
By carrying twins, I'm actually at higher risk of developing diabetes in pregnancy, fulminant high blood pressure, which I had, abnormally sited placenta, which is what we call placenta previa, bleeding in pregnancy, and premature separation of placenta, what we call a ruptured placenta, which Dr. Natasha experienced herself. Therefore, there was... she needs to have an emergency cesarean section at 29 weeks.
Okay.
So these are all the complications, that possible complications that's involved with having twins. Mm-hmm. So in fact, you are actually going through pregnancy and you're just thinking, am I going to have all these problems?
Yes, because you're so close to the possibilities, right? You're so aware of it. You see it all the time.
Yes.
How did you calm yourself down without, you know, becoming so paranoid about it?
In fact, we
doctors actually make the worst patients.
I'm sure you do, and I don't blame you
for it. I think Natasha can vouch for that, and I can vouch for Natasha. We have the worst patients on earth.
In some situations, I think ignorance is bliss,
yes.
And so that's wonderful. It works well for us. But for you, how did you cope, Dr. Natasha?
I don't know. I think sometimes life just throw challenges at you. You just have to just cope with it and, you know, try to see how the best you can, you know, face all the problems and just pray, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for the best, hope for the best, you know, and prepare yourself for the worst, basically. Right, there's nothing.
At the end of the day, all those years in medical school, and you still have to depend on God.
It is actually
at the end of the day.
It is. No matter how clever one is, actually, at the end of the day, you're very humbled by by actually learning about what are the possibilities, and you find that no matter how clever you are as an obstetrician or gynecologist, still at the end of the day, there are things that you can't control. So in the end of the day, you have to, come to terms that, okay, I'm going to accept this is the possibilities. I'm going to face it as it comes.
Okay. Do identical twins happen or generally come about through sheer chance? Or because as opposed to fraternal twins, what are some of the factors that contribute to identical twins and fraternal twins?
Okay. Identical twins, basically it is occurs by chance, and the incidence has actually been the same. So it's about 1 in 250. Mm-hmm. As opposed to fraternal twins, the rate of incidence has actually increased over the past few years. Not surprisingly, one of the reasons is increased maternal age and as well increased usage of fertility medications. Other factors are also due to race. In certain race, such as the African Americans, there is a higher incidence of having twins compared to Asians. And maternal age, basically due to several reasons. Firstly, they might be suffering subfertility, so they may have conceived through fertility medications. Mm-hmm. And also naturally, they will be, as you grow older, there's a hormone called follicle stimulating hormone, a short term called FSH, which actually increases. This hormone actually is involved in ripening of the ovum prior to its release in each month. So as you actually grow older, this hormone is actually increased, and actually when it's increased, more eggs will be produced.
Right. So hence the reason why chances are higher when you are older.
Older, so.
I see. Okay.
Sometimes it's also hereditary. Sometimes, as I was sharing just now, that if you have a family history of twins, or you have twins before, then you are at higher risk of having twin pregnancy. If you have more pregnancies before, for example, this is your fourth or fifth pregnancies, the chance of you having twins is also higher than those who are pregnant for the first time. Mm-hmm. And there's some very interesting studies that shown that in larger and taller women, you actually have a higher chance of getting twins.
Yes, I came across that, but we'll come to that in a short while. But what are the signs and symptoms that you are having twins? I know an ultrasound is a no-brainer, but sometimes it does not appear in an ultrasound. Is there a reason why it doesn't appear? It takes a while before you really know that you're having twins.
In fact, ultrasounds, the technology in ultrasound is now getting better and better. Mm-hmm. So in fact, it's very unlikely for one to miss a twin pregnancy at this juncture, at this point of time.
When is the earliest that you can confirm that one is having twins?
It's about 6 to 7 weeks.
Okay. Not earlier.
Yeah, because that's the time where you can actually visualize the gestational sac at 6 to 7 weeks. So that would be the best time to identify that whether this woman is actually pregnant with twins or not. And in fact, it is actually very crucial to actually have scan earlier to actually differentiate whether this is actually a mono, is it identical or non-identical twins. Okay. We'll come to that in a short while.
Dr. Yeah. Helena is leading the show now. So to find out for real, mm-hmm. it's the ultrasound.
It is.
It is ultimately the ultrasound. Mm-hmm. Are there instances where it cannot be detected on an ultrasound? I can't even speak anymore. Are there instances?
I think sometimes you may miss twins. There have been instances where the twins were missed, but ultimately when they came to hospitals, maybe general hospitals, then they, when the babies are much more bigger than the other babies, the twins is actually identified. So sometimes it's a bit difficult then to actually manage, because especially if the twins have the same sex, because we need to determine whether it's identical or is it a fraternal twin, because identical twins is associated with much more complications.
I see. Such as?
twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, for example.
Can you tell me what that is? Because I was reading about this twin-to-twin transfusion and the vanishing twin syndrome.
Uh-huh. That's a very interesting situation. It is actually, it occurs in identical twins, whereby we call that monozygotic twins. Monozygotic twins actually have a few categories, because it depends on when does the embryo actually split into two.
Okay.
So if it split it into two earlier in the day tree of what we call day tree embryos, this pair of twins, sometimes they don't share the same placenta, and they have a different amniotic sac, which is their water bags are separate, and the placenta are not joined together. Therefore, the complication is actually lesser. But if this embryo actually split much later in life, let's say more than day 5 or day 7, sometimes they tend to share the same placenta. And there are, if you share the same placenta, sometimes there are a lot of crossover sharing of the blood vessels. And therefore, one twin may actually donate its blood to the other twin. So the twin that actually donate its blood is called the donor twin, and the other twin who's receiving it is what we call a recipient twin. So therefore, the donor twin is smaller, is anemic, and the recipient twin is larger and has lots of blood. And in fact, it actually can potentially cause problem.
For which one, the donor twin or the
both of them?
For both.
Yeah, so the recipient twin will actually suffer from overload of blood and therefore had high risk of heart failure and actually die inside the mummy's womb. Mm-hmm. And the donor twin is actually anemic and therefore the growth is actually restricted.
Right.
So,
can you detect this at any stage?
I guess in about 10-15%. Yes, that's why we need to identify, firstly, if you have a twin pregnancy, whether it's an identical twin or is it a fraternal twin. Mm-hmm. If it's an identical twin, we need to be able to determine whether they have one placenta, two placenta. So if they're at risk, they have one placenta. So you have to keep a very close eye, especially after 20 weeks, mm-hmm. to actually scan perhaps every fortnightly to see whether there's any differences in growth in the water bag surrounding them to identify this twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome.
20 weeks is already very far into the pregnancy mm-hmm. to, you know, find out these things. So you can't really tell earlier whether this is happening or not.
Yeah, in fact, to identify whether they are sharing the same placenta or not, it's important that we scan them around before about 12 weeks of pregnancy. Therefore, it's actually important to be able to plan their care even from very early on.
Mm-hmm. Other complications, Dr. Helena, on identical twins?
Okay, there's another very interesting situation that you have raised called vanishing twin
syndrome. Yeah.
It occurs in about 1 in 8 pregnancies. It seems that research shows that as many as 1 in 8 pregnancy actually start out as a twin pregnancy or multiple pregnancy, but only a single fetus is brought to full term, because the other one has died very early in the pregnancy, mm-hmm. and or has not been detected or recorded. So sometimes if you do an early pregnancy scan, and you may actually find an extra fetus which failed to develop and instead disintegrated and vanished. So this is called as vanishing twin syndrome.
Okay, so would you know that the twin was even there?
If you had an early scan,
you would.
The doctor might say, oh, you actually have twins, and mm-hmm. you'll be, okay. And then you come the next 2 weeks, oh, there's only one twin left, or one baby left.
Yeah, one surviving one.
Yeah, if this happens really early in pregnancy, most of the time we just treat as a single pregnancy mm-hmm. And just continue as normal. Most of the time, no complications develop. The baby will just be reabsorbed by the other twin or by the placenta.
Amazing.
So we just treat it as normal.
Don't you find it mind-boggling how nature works?
It is. It is.
You know? and how it sort of fixes itself.
It is. It's very, very strange, isn't it?
Yeah. And hence the reason why I believe that if you have a miscarriage, it's happening for a good reason.
It is. It does.
Something's not quite right, and so it's happened for a good reason.
That's right.
Though it can be quite distressing, but, you know, nature's, you know, running its course. While twinning sometimes runs in families like yourself, Dr. Helena, previous studies have shown environmental factors such as a greater health in the mother or childbearing at later ages have a greater influence. Now, would you have any statistics to back up as to what are some of these environmental factors or greater health can influence you having twins? I mean, so what? If I'm healthy, I can have twins? It goes back many, many years, isn't it?
It does.
What's the story?
Okay. There are actually some studies, statistics. Actually, I think in the West, people are very good at taking statistics because I think because of church and all that, and they have families, they do actually know that, this family, how many people are there, and they really take very good statistics. They find that there was actually the women who actually go on to have twins, they actually are taller, healthier. And when you think about it statistically and you think about it logically, in fact, that actually we can explain certain all this observation, because if you are healthier, it's more likely of you to be ovulating regularly. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you may actually ovulate more than once sometimes. And therefore, it's a higher chance of you having twins pregnancy. And if you're healthier and stronger, it may be is more likely for you to survive the twin pregnancy and go on having the twins rather than having a miscarriage by carrying the twins.
Okay. You said something really interesting. If you're healthy, you could ovulate more than once.
Not to say more than once, but you may actually produce more than one egg during your ovulation.
Right. And how do you know you're producing more than one egg? Would we even know?
When
you
really.
Have twins.
When you have twins, yeah.
You will know it's
happened. And it does happen. And sometimes we really do not know whether this cycle you are actually producing two eggs or not.
Yeah. Okay, all right then. Coming up, we'll continue the discussion on having twins. If you have a question for Dr. Helena or Dr. Natasha, do text 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasudhi. With me, Dr. Helena Lim and Dr. Natasha Ayn Mohammad Noor, both consultant obstetrician and gynecologists, and we're discussing having twins. Both ladies also coincidentally have twins of their own. One set about to turn one, and Dr. Helena is going to 3 years old already?
Yes, they are three now.
All right, we'll come back to how you cope with it, but let's get the medical stuff out of the way. We all know that with fertility treatment, chances of having twins is higher. Now, what are the odds? Dr. Natasha, you had fertility treatment and hence you landed up with twins. What are the chances?
Depends on what fertility medications you're taking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you are taking a pill medication called Clomid, so the chances of you ending having twins or multiple pregnancy will be about 5 to 10%, or if you're having an other fertility treatments such as IUI or IVF, the possibility of you having a multiple pregnancy or twin pregnancy with IUI increases up to 10 to 15%. Mm-hmm. And with IVF, depends on the number of embryos you transfer. So it could be as high from 15 to 20% with maybe two embryos being transferred, or if it's two or more, then as high as 30 to 40% of twins or more.
Okay, yeah. All right then. So there is, in 2007, I was reading, there was a proposed government regulation that was to prevent a woman from having twins through IVF because such children, you know, have higher rates of disabilities than single offspring. First of all, do you agree with that, right? That's one first question. Thus, most women would be allowed only one embryo implant during infertility treatment to cut the chances of two babies. Now, what's your opinion on this? Can government come in and say, I'm sorry, you can only implant one embryo as opposed to two? Because I think, there could be issues to, you know, like in the UK, the NHS is burdened with additional costs and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially if healthcare is bought by the taxpayers and also the government. For example, in UK or in Malaysia, we know that having twins and if you actually have a premature labour for because you're carrying twins or triplets, for example.
Like the both of you.
Yeah, like the both of us. And the baby will most likely end up in neonatal ICU care. Now, the neonatal ICU care, the cost of each baby for each night is about 2,000 ringgit Malaysia for each baby. So we can imagine if you're two or more babies, you're talking about 4,000 to 6,000 ringgit of cost per night. And these baby may stay, the minimum is 2 weeks, and the maximum they can go up to 3 to 4 months in the ICU. So you can imagine how much money that we have to spend on these babies. And especially if this come from the public funding.
Government sector, yes.
All right. So, absolutely.
Okay. And do IVF children have higher rates of disabilities than single offspring?
Well, we would not say that it will actually have a higher disability or in terms of so-called fetal abnormality. But we also, we note that if you actually carry twins from IVF, compared to those women who have twins without going through IVF, we know that the chance of you having complication during pregnancy is higher, and therefore there's a higher chance of the baby being ended up in NICU, and therefore and then the spiral,
the cost factor comes back again. But you know, does government have a right to tell you that, you know, and in Malaysia, most of the time when it comes to fertility treatment, you're paying for this out of your own expenses. If you want to have two embryos implanted, that's your business. You know, of course, our government hasn't said anything of that in that case. But in the UK, it's probably funded by the state, so they have a reason for that. But what about the rest of the world? Does this stand in other countries as well? Do they also have regulations similar to the one in the UK?
Yes. In fact, in Victoria State in Australia, it's now mandatory to actually only transfer one embryo. And if you would like to have two embryo transfer, you are you actually, as a patient, you have to sign a letter of release, meaning that you have to release your clinician from being sued by you in future, because you're already being counseled that there's a higher risk of multiple pregnancy if you transfer more than two embryos, and there's a higher risk of preterm delivery, neonatal complications, cerebral palsy, and so forth. And therefore, it is actually becoming more and more common to actually transfer one embryo instead of two.
Okay.
In fact, I even though in Malaysia, it's not fully most of the time all these IVF cycles are not government funded, but the complication, for example, a lot of these babies actually ended up in NICU in Malaysian government university hospital, or
although they were treated in private. Right. Yeah. So then the burden lands on the taxpayer again.
Yes, right. Yeah. So so whether as a government or, you know, do we have a right to say no to that? I think I think government does actually have an absolute right to do so.
Okay. We have no regulations, but who decides, Dr. Natasha, as to whether you should have one embryo implanted or two? Is it the doctor?
I think at the end it should come down to a discussion between the doctor and the patient, and I don't think it should have a blanket rule, because obviously in Malaysia, since we do not still have the legislation, you should also see the patient. I mean, what age is she? How long has she been subfertile for? Has she had previous failed IVF cycles? So in this sort of patient, you may consider to transfer two or three, especially if her egg qualities of the embryo quality is much poorer. So her risk of actually, or her chances of getting pregnant is actually much lower. Mm-hmm. So for you, your aim is basically to get her to conceive.
Yeah.
So I think you need to individualize and discuss with your patient. Obviously, they're so excited. I just want to have babies, twins, and then I can just stop and do, you know, just continue on with life. But we, as an obstetrician, personally as well, you know, you just know so many complications. You just want them to have a baby, one single healthy baby, and they can bring the baby healthy, them as well, home, with them also have the mother also. Both mother and baby healthy, just go home.
Right. What are the risks to mum when, you know, you have twins?
All right. Okay. The risks for mothers, there are actually a very, very long list, actually. Actually, if you like we discussed just now, if you have twins, you're more likely to develop medical complications such as anemia, diabetes, high blood pressure in pregnancy.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, we mentioned.
So how do you manage it? How do you manage baby's health and mummy's health throughout the pregnancy?
In fact, it is actually, you're walking on a very tight rope. Always, you're actually balancing the mother's health sometimes you mean in certain cases you need to actually deliver the baby earlier to stop the pregnancy, because you know that hypertension is getting worse. Mm-hmm. If we don't deliver the babies earlier, then I'm putting the mother at risk. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you have to be actually concerned about what if the baby comes out, how premature the baby is, how long is this baby going to stay in ICU unit, what is the survival rate of this baby coming out at this point of time. So there is actually a very fine balance between the benefit of delivering it and the benefit of continuing the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So it is not an easy decision at all, because you're talking about three lives now.
Of course. How do you make that call? Do you leave it to the patient, or do you, as a doctor, take it on and make that call as to who you're going to save?
I think that it is, at the end of the day, it's very, very important is that we put the mother's life first, because we know that the mother's life always comes first. So in fact, there's a lot of times where we come to the crossroad where we strongly feel that we need to deliver the babies. So we really have to put across a lot of things into and have a discussion with the couples in order to actually, you know, put sense into them that, look, we have no choice but to do so, because your life actually comes first.
Where does daddy fall into all of this?
It depends culturally as well. Right. Sometimes, and also socioeconomic status. A lot of times, when more educated, as women are more educated, sometimes, so the decision is becoming 50-50. So the husband's opinion and the wife's opinion comes in equally. But in certain aspect of our society, whereby the husband actually takes a bigger role in making decision. But however it is, I think it's important to actually arrive at a decision between the obstetrician and the couples. So it's very, it's challenging.
Majority of the time, I think couples do listen to doctors, fortunately.
Sure. Yes.
Except naughty doctors.
Rebellious obstetrician as pilot patients.
Always demanding a second, third, fourth opinion.
You horrible patients. You know, a US embryologist criticized Britain for restricting the number of embryos that can be implanted. What's your thought? What's your take on this? Do you think he said it for his own benefit? He's an embryologist.
I think it's probably the British do have their own reasons for saying so. I think the long term, you do, it's not like how many patients you get pregnant, but how many live baby the patients are able to take home. So, I mean, if the pregnancy rate, it does not change with how many embryos you put. If it's the same, one embryo you put is the same pregnancy outcome. I mean, and you have a healthy baby at the end of the day, I think that's the most important.
Mm-hmm. You've gone through a whole list of health complications as to what can really happen to mummy as well as to the baby. But do you think health risks of conceiving twins by IVF have been exaggerated by the medical profession?
In fact, it's not exaggerated. In fact, these are all backed by very, very good epidemiology studies that has been shown that if you have twins, again, you are higher, there are higher risk of preterm delivery. The chance of you getting babies with cerebral palsy is 8 times higher. This one, I think not many people actually knows about this.
8 times higher?
Yes, in fact.
That's quite very high.
It's very high, in fact.
Especially if it's associated with preterm. I think the most, because when you have multiple pregnancy, you tend to deliver earlier. Mm-hmm. So you tend to have smaller weight babies. So that's all the complications. And with identical twins, then you may have all this twin-to-twin transmission syndrome, increasing the risk of, you know, the baby having problems.
And in fact, as a mother who had babies who have went through NICU care, I tell you that it's not easy at all. It's an emotionally and mental roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you see babies there sitting there in the NICU and how challenging it is, and you will be thinking to yourself, really, is it fair or not to actually put 7 embryos back into, or 8 embryos into, you know, a mother's womb, and then let that woman carry 8 babies, and then you know, 8 babies ended up in NICU for 3 to 4 or 5 months, and it's not easy at all.
Right. Yeah, so maximum you would, you know, sort of implant 2 embryos.
That's right. Yeah.
Maximum.
Yes.
Would you go up to 3?
In very, very rare occasion. Extreme rare. And I think virtually it's not common anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Very interesting. So, okay, you've had your babies now. We know all the risks and blah, blah, blah. Now your babies are out.
Now, that's where the hard work comes.
Yes. If you thought the whole, you know, pregnancy was tough, well, welcome to the real world. Both of you would probably bear testimony to this.
Yes. So in fact, I think I think Natasha also had very difficult pregnancy because I saw her through as well. And I have extremely difficult pregnancy. I was vomiting, throwing up away, you know, I can't actually work properly. And by the time I was probably 22 weeks and 23 week pregnant, my tummy was so huge that I also have very bad water retention and I can't actually hold the operating knife properly. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a great challenge for me as an obstetrician and a gynecologist to actually operate properly on the patient. Yeah. And my tummy was so huge that, you know, it can't. Actually, my tummy was actually, preventing me. Yeah, right in my way. I can't actually do it properly. And another thing that that drives me crazy is that I can't find clothes to wear because my tummy was so huge. Yeah. And those will fit my tummy does not fit me on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Those that fit my shoulder doesn't fit the lower part of my tummy. Yeah. So it was really challenging and I felt awful actually.
But it was all worth the effort.
Yes,
definitely. Yeah. It was all worth the effort. Would you do it again? Maybe single. But then, you know, that's something that's beyond your control. I mean, if it's IVF, maybe. But yeah. In your case, Dr. Helena, if it's hereditary, then there's nothing really much you can do.
Yeah, contraception, yes.
Now, you know, I don't know whether you, I came across this research, but I want to get your opinion. Research tracking about 18,500 families in the US revealed that married couples are 17% more likely to divorce if they have twins. Now, the both of you have twins. What are some of the challenges now?
Obviously, taking care of the twins, being both, especially if both the couples are working, then you have issues of who's actually taking care of your babies, especially if they're small and maybe have medical issues. Maid issues is a problem, obviously, in Malaysia. Then that would definitely cause, you know, not only financial issues, emotionally, you're tired, you're going home tired, you're stressed out at work, and you go home with two crying babies. Obviously, that will create a lot of distress among couples. I think it depends on the couple itself, how their relationship was before, if they have any support group around them, family to help them at the end of the day. So, but obviously, definitely having multiples is much more of a challenge.
Of course.
Definitely.
One is tough.
And two is no joke.
Yes. How did you cope?
In fact, I have to take, both of us actually took unpaid leave for some time to actually look after the twins until they are old enough so that we return back to work. But even then, I can tell you that it's very challenging. I have two mates to look after them at home. Even then, there are issues surrounding mates. If you had more than one mate, that creates itself is an issue sometimes. Yes. You know, the mates will be, you know, this is my job, this is not my job. Yep. And that itself is a domestic headache as well. In fact, it's not easy at all. Mm-hmm. And financially, my husband will always come home and tell me, do you know what how much money that we spend on milk powder and diapers and whatnot this month?
And the two mates.
Yeah, and the two mates as well. So actually, it's no joke. And a lot of things that you have to, if you have older siblings, you can pass on things from one to another. But having twins, that you have to use the same thing at the same time. So it's double of everything.
Yeah.
So in fact, it is very costly to have twins.
At any point, did the both of you think that you may have to give up your work?
Very tempted to do so. At one point.
All those years in medical school.
Yes.
Gone that's, down the drain.
Yeah, that's what my husband say. No, you are out of your mind.
Dr. Natasha, did you think of, you know, maybe quitting? You just went back to work, didn't you?
Yes. Maybe, but I think at the moment it's a difficult choice because you have to, also like Dr. Hena said, there are financial obligations, and also you've done so many years of training. You just basically have to cope, juggle basically, yeah, and see. Right. But double the trouble, double the joy.
Yes, in fact, yes, yeah, I would agree.
It's very fun actually to have two of them. You know, you have it's quite a lot of fun sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to scare anyone who's already pregnant with twins. But what is your final message, both of you, to ladies who are having twins or, you know, are expecting twins?
Just be prepared for it, but expect to be a bit more difficult, but I think it's worth it. Enjoy every moment of it, and you know, make sure you take care of yourself and also your babies, follow up regularly, and have a lot of sleep before you get before you deliver,
before they actually arrive.
I second that.
Two of them. Yourself, Dr. Helena?
Yes, I think it's very important that women are actually well informed, because these are the things that you may actually not thought of. In fact, for an obstetrician myself, and for a person who comes from a family with twins and triplets, we know, sort of know that our challenges and all that. When you actually face it, it's a different story. It's a different, you know, matters altogether. So I would think that it's important that you find a support group. In fact, Natasha and I was actually going through some of the support group for twins, and we find that very interesting as well.
Well, there are support groups.
Yeah, there is a support group for that. And in fact, it's very important that you get to know people, get to know from other, you know, learn from other people's experience, how you cope with it, how you sleep, how you breastfeed, how you bathe them, and so forth. Because although these are very small matter, it looks, you know, a very small matter, but it does actually, it's a big matter when it comes to this two very wobbly baby in your arms.
Yeah.
In fact, it can be a struggle.
Right. So both need the attention at the same time.
Yes.
So you take it for granted. If I can do it for one, I can do it for two.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Thank you both for joining us. Dr. Helena Lim and Dr. Natasha Ain Mohammad Noor, both consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, on having twins on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.